Anybody else maybe have a birthday that we didn't have between now and next Sunday? A birthday or an anniversary? I know we've got some folks visiting and don't want you to miss your shout out. Some people only come to church once a year and they get a shout out. Yeah. I hope not. But no, God is very good. He's really good. So I am going to be on the brief side this morning, and this is our opportunity and our time to, as so much of the rest of the world is thinking about Christmas or taking actions or doing things or shopping or being busy, that we pause. And for those of us here, obviously, our life with the Lord is our life. And I'm not just saying that because I'm the guy standing up front, but He is life. He is life. And the fact that He came as He did, and as I've heard it put, and I've used the phrase before, I believe it may have been Tim Keller that said, made Himself killable. That God Almighty put Himself in a form that could be killed, and then allowed that to happen. As much as we celebrate, and we know that He was not born on December 25th, okay? Over time, this is the time that the church has selected to celebrate His birth. But we know that He was born on a day. This is the day that we remember it, so it's obviously appropriate. But, you know, the whole world at this time of year does start to think and move and at least be singing some of those profound lyrics of some of those hymns. They're profound. They're true. And people are singing them, and you're like, do you know what you're saying? You know, came to defeat Satan, came so He can dwell in the hearts of men. You know, for those of you who have been born by His Spirit, you're just like, yeah! And you're watching somebody else sing, and you're like, do you get it? Do you get it? Right? Let me pray. Father God, Lord, thank You, because it's only because You, by Your Spirit, have helped us get it, that we see. Lord, You've given us eyes to see. You've put us in this place, Lord, where then we can, Lord, come before You as Your children. Lord, celebrating Your birth, celebrating Your purpose for coming, Lord, and being just awed to a point where what can we do but lay our lives down before You and say, God, be glorified. Be glorified as You make all things new, Lord. We are the first fruits of some of that. So to You be the glory. Amen. 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 What's been stirring in me this week, and especially as I started to prepare, was what God has done in giving us His Word. And I say that because I'll read the verses out of John in a moment, because, you know, in many ways we're really talking about Him incarnating His Word and being Jesus. But yet He's given us a written account for us to follow that's marvelous. And if there's one thing I want you to leave with today, it's I want you to be left with this extra stoked hunger and desire to get in that Word, to be in that Word, to allow that Word to do what it does, because it is alive. It's alive. And we celebrate today, or actually on Wednesday we'll be celebrating, or the world will be celebrating, the birth of that Word coming into human form, that eternal Word. It's mysterious. It is. To really try to fathom, to wrap our heads around all that happened in that, it's beyond human full comprehension. It is. Yet, one of the places I hope to bring you to today is that you are at a place where you're like, I am going to put my faith in what He said and what He's done. So I know Haley's going to try to get me a couple slides at some point. I don't really need them till we get going, so excuse the blinking screens. But you're not finding it on there? It's saved by today's date? No? Okay, as I think about that, I think you are correct. So my really cool slides are on my laptop. So not sure if they're worth trying to get up there or not. I'd have to let me see. I'm gonna open it, let you play, and if you can pull it off, great. Give me a moment to get to this. I apologize for that. It's funny because now as she's saying, I'm thinking about it. I had the thumb drive sticking in the computer, saved it, closed it, but never actually put it on the thumb drive. Put the thumb drive in there so I could have it. And It's kind of been funny. It looks like it's because it's been a technologically challenging day for us here, and even week at work. For those of you who may have seen, there's a little bit of a data breach in Wawa Land, which from Wawa's perspective is like, what? This doesn't happen to us. We don't let this happen. And all the things that they go through to do that. So there's some pretty upset folks. But what they did is they layered in a ton of extra security. And so I go on my Bible website, as I usually do between quiet times and doing some of my own study, and they're blocked. And I'm like, it says right on there, religious form, this site is now blocked. And Wawa's got so much security on our stuff as it is, it's always been a little bit something that you have to just work around, and I'm used to that. But this site was blocked, and every site that I went to relative to, I'm going to Bible.com, Logos, and all these different Bible Gateway, websites I like to go to, they're all blocked. So you have to ask for permission. And you need to state a business reason why you need to go to this site. So I'm like, going to these websites helps me do my job well, period, send. Okay? What can I tell them? I need to get on these things. Sure. God's spirit is in me. He's in you. Right? I've got printed page. I could go to a physical Bible, and I love to, and I do. No doubt about that. But they were all blocked. So my boss is really cool, and I'm like, Barb, I'm blocked at all these sites. He's like, just tell me what you need. I'll get you in there. So anyway, I'm waiting for them to respond. They're not responding. Finally, I get one of them. I'm not getting an email response. So I'm like wondering, am I going to get on here? And finally, I get one of them on the phone, and he's like, yeah, we saw your request. That won't be a problem. I think we're going to unblock those type of sites. I'm like, yeah, that's good, because you can go to all other crazy kinds of places. Sure, it's a company computer. They know everywhere you go, right? It's a good thing for all of us to know, because God knows everywhere we go anyway, right? So the fact that some people are concerned that their boss is going to come up to them and say, were you going somewhere you shouldn't have went on your work device? Okay, much better than having the Lord say, you've gone somewhere you shouldn't have gone, right? But as God's been incredibly gracious to me through Wawa, I realized, all right, I think I'm in a place where I just need to get my own laptop and not have to worry about some of those things. But he's been good. So let me pop this open for Haley, give this to her, and see if she can pull it up there for us. Like I said, it is only a couple of slides, but it may be helpful for us. So give me 1 second to give this to her, and I will. Yeah, I got to. Okay. Well, thank you for your patience with that. We'll see where that goes. All right. So actually, I like to ask a question at the beginning, and this one is not very deep, so forgive me on it. But who's seen Back to the Future? The movie, Back to the Future, right? 1985. Right? Kind of a fun movie. Right? Silly premise at the time, and I guess still kind of is, but it's a funny movie. For the most, this isn't my endorsement, because you got to be careful. Up here, you say you endure. I enjoyed it. I remember I'd probably seen it a few times. But I got to be careful, because if you ever watch it like really carefully, I'm like, oh, maybe that was really bad or something. So, yeah, 1985, I'm finishing college, and that's the movie that comes out. And then it comes up with a sequel in the late 80s, Back to the Future 2. And what happens in Back to the Future 2 is that Marty sees, right, Marty McFly, right? McFly, right? Remember the movie? Right. So in Back to the Future 2, Marty sees that Biff, right, the bad guy, right? Biff has got this incredible lifestyle, and he's wondering what happened. And he finds out that Biff stole the sports almanac that had all of the scores from 1955 to the year 2000. Okay. By the way, the prop from the movie sold at auction for $8,000. Yeah, like you had $8,000. Hey, I recognize those people. So the prop sold for $8,000, the actual almanac. And what Biff does in the movie is that he went back in time. I'm sorry, he took this almanac from the future, went back in time, and then he bet on all the events that would come up, and he made himself rich. And he did a bunch of other stuff and other things, and that's the premise of what's going on. But the reason why I'm telling you that is not because I want you to live like Biff, all right? However, I do want to encourage you to live like you know for sure what the outcome's going to be. For sure. Not I think, not I hope. Okay? How would you live if you knew for sure what the outcome was going to be? And as I pondered this, I found myself challenged with, even though I say what I believe and I live it and I talk about it, right? What else would I do if I knew for sure of how the outcome was going to be? And I started to realize I'd probably be living a little bit differently. You know, what type of urgency or what opportunities do I just not want to miss? Right? How many times do I find myself, maybe next time, you know, I'll talk to them a little bit more. But there's a way that we can live because we can know for sure. And as I said to you before, we have a book. We don't have the scores of the next, you know, 20 years worth of sporting events so that we can bet on them. But we have a book that is so much more sure. It's so much more predictable. It's so much more accurate. And time, right? What's beautiful about truth is time always proves truth right. No matter what the air of the day is, no matter what somebody may be promoting or twisting or spinning or tainting at any one point in time, you know, truth will make itself known. And whether we're looking at the earliest chapters of this book or the end of the book, or whether it's talking about things that have come yet or things that are yet to be, you can live for sure. You can live for sure knowing what the outcome is going to be. And my words of encouragement are that you would get in this book like you never have. Okay? Like you never have. This book has been changing lives since it was first penned. Right? Even from the Old Testament scriptures. Right? Literally changing lives. The testimonies that speak of whether this book is true are too many to count. I think I'm sitting in a room with people that have been changed by your influence from reading this book. Thanks, Jer. Jerry's life's been changed. And I think I told you, like, for me, one of the more encouraging things when God grabbed me and when his spirit dropped into my dorm room the way that it did, one of the things that nobody had to tell me to do was to get into that book. And I couldn't put it down. And at times, I'm embarrassed when I maybe look back on a day and say, wow, I didn't really have the type of time with God that I wish I had or that I should have had. Like, how did I do? What could have possibly been more important today? What? And sure, I prayed. Sure, we talked. I maybe even had the Bible open. But did I just sit there and as Jesus has told us, or as we read in the scriptures, that this word of God is actually our bread. So did I come to this word and get something from God that is actually my sustenance today? And we have that opportunity every day. And it's estimated that there may be as many as 5 billion copies of the scriptures. 5 billion. It's a lot. Don't try to count. And do you realize it's not there because Zondervan or any of these other publishing companies have these great marketing campaigns like, you know, get your Bible today. Your life will be better if you get a Bible. No. It happens because one person tells of his deeds to another. And that person says, he's not a respecter of persons. Right? One of Andre's favorite verses to pray for us. Right? He's not a respecter. So that person takes a step forward as faith is stirring in their heart. They're hearing God's word. They're responding to it. Okay? Faith comes alive in them, And that word too now becomes inside of them. And as they start to respond to that, and we start to respond to that, okay, he's drawn us, and this book needs to be there. Now, there wasn't a time that this book was printed the way that it is now. Right? We live in a modern era. Right? And they've lost count. There's really not the ability for them to keep track of all of, in a cumulative way. And I've got, maybe I have a slide, maybe I don't. That'll show you just loosely some of what's being estimated, but it's virtually uncountable, the number of downloads. This book has been fully translated into over 350 languages, in parts over 2,100 different languages. Oh, I recognize that. It's incredible what's been going on. And it doesn't matter. The beauty is it doesn't matter, okay, what the ethnicity, what the culture of a place is. When God's Spirit starts to reveal what's right and true, it's then and there that those people responding in faith to that word as it's proclaimed, they come to know the very same God. Right? I see Brother Ed and his family here, and hi, Mary. Good to see you guys. They've spent time in the mission field, and they've watched, okay, as God has moved. Our sister Haley and many others of you have gone, and you realize it doesn't matter. There's a lot of ways that you can't communicate to people of another language, okay? But there is a language from heaven that's being spoken, and the Holy Spirit of God's job, okay? Well, I should say the role that's been revealed is that he is moving, okay? He's convicting. It's his job, okay? No one has to come up next to you and say, you know what you're doing is really wrong, because the Spirit of God is moving and saying, you know what? That's not what God has for you. And he draws people. And he's been doing that. He's been drawing us to this book. And I don't want you to confuse my Bible promotion with Bible worship. Okay? We're not going to worship the book itself. Okay? The book, the Bible leads us to the one and only one to be worshiped. Right? God himself, ultimately manifest in Jesus. Ultimately manifest in Jesus. And that's the birth that we're celebrating in this beautiful way that we call Christmas. But allow me to read to you a few portions to you all. A few portions starting at John, where we've heard, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Moving down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, John's telling us. Glory is the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. So this word of God, this essence of God, made flesh in the form of Jesus, in this miraculous joining, right, in a woman, right, a virgin birth. And the scriptures, what we call the Old Testament scriptures, are full of references to this plan that God's had. And the beauty about scripture, and one of the many things, the layers upon layers, the types, the pictures, the foretelling of things, many of which at the time they're written aren't seen. And I liken it to even when Jesus was walking with the disciples, even after. Right. How many times they didn't see him and later it became clear? Right. I think in many ways it may have been like that for some of the Old Testament writers and prophets. They knew they were being moved by God's Spirit. But at which times were they referring to something that was going on right in front of them? And which time was the Spirit of God saying, and this is going to happen again. But when it happens again, it's going to be more like this. And there are times that they have these seeds in their words that were like, they definitely saw something big. They saw part of what was going on. How much they fathomed it, we don't know. I mean, we know Jesus at one point references Abraham longing to see his day. You know, so what was Abraham's concept of what was going to happen? And think about it. Abraham didn't have the Old Testament written by Moses for him to read. Right? If I got my timing right, I think. You know, and so many of the saints of God didn't have what we have and what God's given to us. But it's a part of why, you know, we're told in Hebrews that long ago, many times, many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world, which we read also in John. God is speaking. He's absolutely speaking. And he's given us this word. And from cover to cover, it's been explaining and is explaining what'll happen. And as I was doing some of the preparation, I was at one point, I had a list of 100 Old Testament prophecies, right, and the different ways they fulfilled. So let's go through them all now. Thank you for learning. Nah, just a couple. Just a couple. I want to either whet your appetite, and some of them are going to be familiar, but I want you to kind of let it resonate with you, the profundity, how profound it is that God moved and had these words put in. Many of these words, as they were captured by the authors, think about it, were written painstakingly, one letter at a time, as they got copied and got copied again and got copied again. And because God is God, he preserved it. He preserved it so that here we are all these years later and we don't think nothing, or, you know, of popping open a computer or a device and doop. God's word, you can just doop and download from God. Like, not like, hey, this is a really good book, check it out. God, right? So accessible, especially to us, and becoming more and more accessible to others. It's one of the things we work for. But let me read you a few of these verses. And it starts right there in Genesis, some 1,400 plus years before Christ, right? Penned by Moses. He's giving us the account of what happened. And the fall, what we call the fall, had just occurred when Satan pulled out his one and only trick, right? He's got one trick. You've heard me say this before. If you haven't been here before, you haven't heard me say this before. But I say it enough. Satan's one move. Did God really say? Did God really say? And he puts that seed of doubt and then expounds. Did God really say about this? Did God really say about this? Did God really say? And it works itself out in our day and age into all kinds of... Did God really say you're a boy? Did God really say you're a girl? Did God really say? And so here, right after he convinces Eve, right, to take of the fruit, he declares that in verse 15, chapter 3, I'll put enmity between you and the woman, the Lord speaking to Satan, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise or crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The first reference to what was to come. Okay. And later on, as the Lord's revealing and calling Abram out and about to make him this great nation, he makes this promise to him in chapter 12. I will make of you a great nation, and I'll bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I'll curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the families of the earth. Right? This isn't I'm going to develop a nation and bless the daylights out of them, and he's done that. And he'll continue, and he will redeem Israel. But he's saying to Abram, as he makes him Abraham, all the earth. Right? Do you think they really knew what all the earth was at that point? I don't know. Right? We've got some folks now trying to talk us back into being flat, but that's a whole other. It's really flat. Man hasn't been on the moon, blah, blah, blah. Little over 1,000 years. Or about 1,000 years before Christ, Samuel pens these words. It's in chapter 7. When your days are fulfilled, and he's talking to David, and you lie down with your fathers, I will rise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So to what degree was that Samuel? And then to what degree does that become what we call the Davidic lineage that leads to the Christ? Because there's other scriptures there that refer to that. And so then by 740 BC, we have prophets like Isaiah on the scene saying verses like we've seen this morning. But in chapter 7, the well-known verse, the Lord himself is going to give us a sign that the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. And I think you know that means God with us. So when the angel said to name him Jesus, Jehovah saves, and we started to realize who this was, right? The earth, the world had been waiting for this moment. Those who had been studying saw it. They saw his star. They had to move. They had to come. Something was going on. God was on the move. And there's this great response. And it's why, now when I read the verse, do I have to do the motions? For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is beautiful. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. It started with him, and it will continue to grow to no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. 1,000 years before Jesus is born. Right? 700 years before he's born, Micah, a contemporary of Isaiah. But you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming is from of old, from ancient days. What were these guys seeing? It is amazing. Okay, there are copies of this way before Jesus ever got here. It is an incredible book. Haley, all props. You can move me forward. Okay. This is a little graphic showing you the most popular books over the 50-year span, I think from 2012, going back 50 years. On the far left, at 3.9 billion copies sold, is the Bible. 3.9 billion, right? How did God do that? Right? We've had the TV on, and I am so sick of seeing that Marshalls commercial with the guy, dun 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 dun. Oh, this went pretty well. You've seen that one? Okay, it depends on what channel you're watching. Okay. It's a Marshalls commercial or something. I'm like, they must have paid a fortune for this. Somebody with me on that one? Nobody? Red jacket, purple pit. Oh, man. It was on so many times. I'm like, they got the short version, the long version. I'm like, they must be paying it. Okay. 3.9 billion. And I'm not showing you to say, hey, look, God's winning the contest. Okay. I am showing you that somehow God's Spirit continues to drop. I don't care. Okay. I'm going to show you a slide in a minute just from 2017. And in case you're wondering, some of the other books there. The second book is actually the teachings of Mao Zedong because it was forced distributed for decades throughout China. Okay, so at 820 million copies, okay, given out over those decades. Kind of crazy that Harry Potter comes in at number 3, 400 million copies. What else we got on there? Lord of the Rings, all right, we'll give a prop to that one. Lord of the Rings at 103, yep. And then some others, okay and not so okay. I'll leave that. But my point being, just to give you a little bit of an idea, God has made sure his word's gone out. He continues to make sure that it's going out. We could sit here about to become 2020, and there are people who are going to respond in faith to what this says, and their spirit is going to come alive. Okay? And the only reason Jesus hasn't come back yet is because he was waiting. He's waiting. He's being patient, not wanting any to perish. Any. I don't know at what point he says, that's it, enough. Hey, but I can't help but wonder, to some degree, does the merciful God just say, okay, this one's going to respond. This one's going to respond. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. And I've heard another preacher put it once. We're just waiting for that last guy or woman to say yes. And then we're out of here. That may be true. But the word also tells us it's going to be a horrible day. It's going to be a horrible day when God actually has to say, away from me, I never knew you. I'm going to separate out those who responded to my word from those who didn't. And I'm going to destroy, right? And I'm going to rebirth what needs to be. And it will be glorious. And we can all sit here on this side of the aisle saying, my faith is in Christ, I'm safe, I'm good. Okay? But because his heart is for the lost, he waits. He waits. And for us, any of us, to dare be impatient, dare be frustrated, it's human, it's emotional, it's real. Okay? But let God be God. Let him be God and allow him to move the way he's moving. The next slide there has for you a graphic that just shows you, just in 2017, distribution around the world. And I realize you probably can't read those little words, and maybe I can't without glasses. But what it's just giving you a picture of is that in the year 2017, there was over 350 million distributions of the scriptures, whether they be full Bibles, which is the blue lines, or all scriptures represented by the pink lines. And what you're seeing there is the Americas. You're seeing different parts of the world, because as God said to Moses, to Abraham, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Okay? And his word does continue to go forth. His word does continue to bless. And we live in a day and age and in a time where I'm pretty sure for most folks in this room, you have access to this. You have you're here. I hope I'm not ruining it for you, because you're accountable for what you know. You now know you can get one of these. They're being given out pretty liberally. You can get one free today on your way out if you need one. Okay? There's some on the table. We got some on the other. Okay? God doesn't want you not to know. Okay? But wait. There's more. Order by midnight tonight. Okay? We can, you know, take it with some lightness and laugh. But there's only one issue. And there's only one issue. It's how have you responded to the revelation of God? Okay? You all are hearing that he's revealed himself in his son. Okay? He's revealed himself. And just to tie this up and to put some closing to it, we have to see and hear how this one who we celebrate his birth today, yet came on a mission. He came to a complete a job, a mission that the Father gave him. And it's why on the cross he says, it, the work you've given me, it is finished. It's complete. I've done what you told me to do. So to hear what he says about the scriptures becomes all the more of another reason that, wait a second, there is so much more, right? There is so much more to what's going on in this book. Jesus said in Matthew 5, for one, he didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. And it's why many times you hear him saying things like, hey, you've heard, you know, don't do this. Well, I'm telling you this. Because he knew what the letter of the law said, but he's also saying, what I'm talking about is so much more. It's in your heart. Right? You've heard it said you should not commit adultery. Right? That's a bad thing. It's one of the top 10. Right? Don't do this. And then Jesus says, well, you know what? To fulfill this, I really need you not to have any lust even in your heart. Ever. That's why he said, your righteousness has to exceed the Pharisees. The Pharisees think they're righteous because they're not committing adultery. Right? Meanwhile, as Jesus looks at their hearts, I don't want to look at anybody when I say this, he's like, dead men, you're dead. I see what's, your lips, oh, they sound good, but guess where I'm looking? In your heart. And it's dead. The life that God wants to give us, and he's giving us. So Jesus is saying, I came to fulfill. Right? He's taking it to a whole other level. You know, what's going on there? Bad time for my phone to lock, right? I love this. John 5, Jesus says to the Pharisees, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life, right? And we hear Paul saying to Timothy, right? The scriptures that made you wise to salvation. So the Pharisees, they've got, it's like they're so close yet so far, right? That's so true for so many people, right? To be so close to the truth but not taking it into themselves, right? Because you think you have eternal life. And then Jesus boldly says, these are the very scriptures that testify about me. That's why when he stood up and he unrolled the scroll to that portion in Isaiah, Luke 4, and says, today this is fulfilled in your hearing, they wanted to kill him. Okay? He was giving testimony that, yup, that Old Testament, that God has somehow pieced together through, at that point, dozens of different authors, was done with a mighty oversight of the Holy Spirit, saying, you know what? I know what's going to be. I know what's there. I know what I've inspired. And so Jesus can testify of that. And then it gets, I love that portion in Luke, and I didn't look up the verse, you know, where they got to walk, two of the disciples got to walk with Jesus, and he opened the scriptures and showed them himself in the Old Testaments and the Psalms and in the law, right? Showed them about himself. He knew what his mission was. Okay? He came here to do the Father's work. And then it says, what is that work? That we would believe in the Son. He does the work we believe. It is a profound thing because, you know, we want to do. And you were made to do. Matter of fact, you were prepared in advance by God to do good works. You are. But the verses right before that tell us that that's not how you're saved, but you were made for that. So yes, you do those things, but you're saved by God's grace through faith. And so this morning, as I prepare to dismiss you all, I'm asking, if you have not asked Christ to be your Lord, you have to. I can say you have to, but you need to. It has to be something that's going on in your heart. And I know that many of us have done that. And then sometimes you're like, well, he doesn't feel as close as he used to feel. Right? Draw near. Draw near. Live like you're sure of what's going to happen in the end. Because this is what's going to happen in the end. Let me just leave you with this last thought. And Haley, you can move me forward one slide. Okay. Don't try to reconcile the book with what you see in the world around you. But reconcile. Understand what's going on in the world around you by what you see with this book. Right? In many ways, having a biblical worldview, having a biblical lens, right, which is really, I say it's like putting Holy Spirit glasses on. That's what you need. You need God's Spirit. Okay? But sometimes, like when you put on glasses that aren't yours, you're like, whoa, right? If it's the Holy Spirit and you're asking him for it, they're made for you. So I liken it sometimes to putting binoculars up to your face. Do you ever, when you first put binoculars up, you're like, one eye, two eye, where's it, what moves here? And you're messing with them, and it takes a little while to get things into focus. That's a part of what it's like sometimes, as we tune in to what the Spirit of God is saying, right? What he's saying, okay? You can, okay, not only understand, but you can have faith and live like you're sure of how it's going to turn out. Don't let theory of the day, because that's what they are. Theories come and go. Hey, yet millennia now have proven this word to be true. It will prove itself to be true. And Jesus said, I am coming back. He said, I'm coming back. And I've said this before too. Whether Jesus comes back in our lifetime or not, these are your last days. Right? I don't have to figure out, are these the last days? They're your last days. They're my last days. They're the only days I got. Right? And I know at the end of my days, whether it be because Jesus cracked the sky and we all got to see him at one time, or because he said, that's enough breath in those lungs. Get out of here. I got a new body for you. Right? I'm going to see Jesus on my last day. Yep. You're going to see Jesus on your last day. Yep. Okay? And you want him to say, Father, I got this one covered. Amen. Amen? Please stand. Please stand. Let me dismiss and bless you. If you have the opportunity to come over on the other side and fellowship with us, that would be wonderful. Oh, Father God, thank you. Thank you for your living word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have come and that you have pursued us. You've sent your spirit. You actually said it was better that your spirit be here. So, Holy Spirit, continue to do what only you can do. Reveal what's right and true. Convict of what's right and true. Draw us. Show us what's right. And, Lord, if there be anyone here that needs to surrender to you for the first time, or if they just need to, I'll say, resurrender and acknowledge that they've not walked with you, but they need to and want to, I pray that even now their hearts would be stirred. And I would ask, if that's you, that you please come forward and allow one of us to pray with you after service. So Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way. Continue to make all things new. Continue to glorify the Father even through us. So Lord, we love you. And I ask you to bless everyone here. And I'll use the words that you gave Moses when you said, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise God. You're blessed.